This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most High.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina al-Mab'uthi Rahmatan lil Alameen. Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters here at Ayyumay in the masjid and brothers and sisters online, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always for every single opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you and I in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting closer to Allah azza wa jal and knowing the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says 1,400 years ago, there will come a time where someone will be sitting on his couch and this person will say, whatever I see in the Quran, I'll take. Whatever is in the Quran, I'm not going to take. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the one in which my soul in his hands, whatever Muhammad says, what Allah says. The sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved of, and that's the definition of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam according to the fuqaha, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْنْ يُحَىٰ. Muhammad doesn't say anything from his own. It is only a revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your responsibility, my responsibility is for us to defend and protect the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the ways of defending and protecting the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to learn the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Learning the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not just entertaining. Learning the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam more. And when you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more, you start acting like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam in order for you to live and relive the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam and to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter. And one of the things that inspires us about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the great sacrifice the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sacrificed. And we've been talking about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for weeks now. And we are still in the first phase of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's in Mecca. Up until now, it's all harvesting. Or up until now, it's all sacrificing, planting the seed. Up until now, it's all sacrifice. Up until now, it's all hardships. Up until now, it's all the hard yards. We haven't spoken about much of the fruits. We haven't heard of the fruits yet. All we've been hearing is the hard work and sacrifice that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are putting. We've been talking for the last few weeks and we've repeated this so many times about the great sacrifice and struggle that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are going through. For hours we've been talking about the different challenges the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had encountered. Till now we haven't spoken about fruits. Till now we haven't spoken about much of outcomes. Besides being believers and followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes. But we haven't seen much of victory. We haven't seen much of fruits. We haven't seen much of the end result. Because in order for you to harvest and reap the fruits, you have to plant it. You have to irrigate it. You have to water it. You have to put time and effort. And after you put the time and effort into this seed that you had implanted, then you start seeing the fruits of your hard work. So right now, with all these lessons and all the hours that we've been talking about in the past, it's all implanting and watering and irrigating the seed. Soon, inshallah, we'll start talking about some fruits. And at the end, inshallah, you start seeing the big fruits. And obviously, you are one of those fruits. It's the hard work, sacrifice, and struggle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that you are right now sitting in a masjid, adhering to Islam and the teachings of Islam. You are one of those fruits. So last week we spoke about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam seeing some of that fruit of Hamza and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhuma becoming Muslims, that empowered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and empowered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, but that also escalated the attacks and the assaults on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So much so that the people of Quraysh will continue to plan and plot against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. What do we do? What do we do to this man Muhammad? This man had come with something new, a new faith, a new religion, a new ideology. And this ideology and this faith that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his followers are believing in insults of faith, because they say worship one God. We say worship more than one God. He's saying that these idols that you worship are irrelevant, useless. And these are the idols that we pray to. So the people of Quraysh are becoming very, very agitated, angry. And they tried different forms and ways for them to attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, harm the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. We mentioned some of them, how Abu Jahl tried to crush the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a big massive rock. And he carried her and he came to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. Then he stopped and paused and then he turned back, while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was right in front of him. So he returned back and he told his people, "By Allah, if I saw a huge, massive camel that I've never ever seen before." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, if it took one more step, this camel that he saw, it was Jibreel. If it took one more step, Jibreel was ready to crush him." These are some of the attempts that the people of Quraysh tried to harm the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the wise elderly people of the people of Quraysh, by the name of Nadr ibn Harith, he went and sat down with the people of Quraysh. And he said, "It looks like that you've got a major issue. Like your biggest issue right now, it's not COVID-19. Your biggest issue is Muhammad." At that time, that's how they looked at it. Muhammad was the biggest issue. So Nadr ibn Harith, who's one of the respected elderly people of the people of Quraysh, he went and sat down with the chiefs of the people of Quraysh and he told them, "Looks like Muhammad's really getting to you. You've tried so many different ways, different forms, different avenues for you to stop Muhammad from calling to his religion and getting more followers, for you to do something to Muhammad, but it doesn't look like getting anywhere. But you know what? And look what Nadr ibn Harith said. He's not a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not a supporter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. On the contrary, he's against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he was pragmatic. He was rational. He said, "Look, the reality is, we tried to accuse him to be a magician, and by Allah, he's not a magician. We've heard the magicians. We know of magic. And what Muhammad is talking about, and what Muhammad is uttering with, and what Muhammad had come with, it's not magic. Let's not fool ourselves. Let's be realistic. We are trying to demonize him. We are trying to dehumanize him. We are trying to say that he's something, but we know it's not true." Because these are the sort of things that they said against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a magician. So another said, "Look, the reality is, we know magic. We've sat down with magicians. And what Muhammad is saying is not magic. And if you want to say he's a fortune teller," in which that's one of the things I said against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you say a fortune teller means what? It means someone that's bluffing. A fortune teller. Kahin. We know the fortune tellers. We've sat down with them. And what Muhammad is saying is not fortune telling. What Muhammad is saying is not fortune telling. And if you want to say he's a poet, we know poetry. We understand the poetry. We understand poems. And what Muhammad is saying is not poetry. And if you want to say he's crazy, insane, come on. We know insane people, how insane people behave. And Muhammad is not insane. And if you want to say that He's getting whispers here and there from some jinn, from some ghost. Come on, we've experienced that too. We know what happens when people are possessed and when people are getting whispers. And Muhammad, he's not getting any whispers and he's not getting any outside jinn that's coming and talking to him or possessing him. So he said, "O people of Quraysh, you do have a major issue that you need to deal with. So think about this big matter that you're in. It's not a small issue. Don't think Muhammad's issue is a small issue. Don't think Muhammad's matter is a small matter. It's a big issue. He's got more advantage over you than you having advantages over him." So the reality is, do not belittle or undermine Muhammad's problem. Do not belittle or undermine the issue that you've got before you. It's an issue. To them, it's a major issue. How do we deal with this man? Try to call him a magician. We tried to call him a fortune teller. We tried to cast on him to be a magician, a poet, a this, a that, but it's not working. So they thought about it and they discussed it. So they attempted one more attempt to go and speak to his protector. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. His number one protector is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his second protector, or the other person that was protecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world in Mecca, was his uncle, Abu Talib. The main reason that the people of Quraysh did not want to attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or harm the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, or kill the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, one of the primary reasons is that he's been supported and protected by his uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib is one of the respected chiefs of the people of Quraysh. So they went to Abu Talib and they sat down with Abu Talib and they said to him, "Listen, your nephew had caused us a lot of harm. He's divided amongst us. He's caused a lot of mischief. Hand him over to us. Just wash your hands off him. Denounce him. Let go of him. Stop protecting him. You can't. Enough is enough. All we are asking you for is just to let go of him and leave him to us. That's it. We'll take care of him." Remember, before, that's not the first time they make this offer. Before, they got him one of the most respectful and honorable young men and they said, "We will give you this young man for you to take care of and give us Muhammad in return." So Abu Talib said, "Amazing, your people. You want me to take your child for me to feed him and take care of him? And you want me to give you my own child for you to kill him? Are you for real?" So this time they went back to Abu Talib, saying to him, "Abu Talib, let go of Muhammad, wash your hands of him, denounce him, and we'll take care of him. Just let go of him." Abu Talib realized how adamant the people of Quraysh are. And when they visited Abu Talib at that time, they came as a delegation, not one or two people. They came as 15, 20, and some narrations even say 25 chiefs, heads of different tribes of the people of Quraysh. Coming to Abu Talib is like, you know, it shows the seriousness that you've got. A big alliance of people are coming together, talking over one important topic here. "Oh, Abu Talib, just let go of Muhammad. Leave him to us. We'll take care of him. But just don't support him anymore. And everything will go smooth after it." Abu Talib saw that. And he saw how serious the people of Quraysh are. So what did Abu Talib do? Subhanallah, kafir. Abu Talib is a kafir. He never embraced Islam. When Abu Talib saw how adamant the people of Quraysh are, and what they are planning to do, and how serious they are in harming the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they told him, "Just let go of him and we'll take care of things." Which means, the moment they're going to let go of Muhammad, we're going to kill him. That's it, finished. Abu Talib gathered the entire tribe of Bani Hashim. Because Abu Talib is the son of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib is the son of Hashim. Hashim had a number of children. Amongst them was Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib had a number of children. So you're talking about one important big branch of the people of Quraysh, which is Bani Hashim. That's why they refer to the Prophet Muhammad SAW as the Hashimi. So Abu Talib gathered, because Abu Talib used to be the chief, the leader of the people of, or the tribe of Bani Hashim. So he gathered Bani Hashim, all of them, all his brothers, his cousins, uncles, that entire tribe, and he gathered them, Muslims and non-Muslims. And the vast majority of the people of Bani Hashim were non-Muslims, including Abu Talib. They all attended except one, Abu Lahab, who's the brother of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gathered them all, and he took a commitment from every single one of them, Muslims and non-Muslims, to continue supporting Muhammad. Now the Muslims, you understand why they support Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this non-Muslim, why is he continuing to support the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who doesn't even believe Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He's not supporting him because he's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's supporting him because he's Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. He's from a tribe, very tribal. I know, us here, especially those who are born and raised here, this concept of tribalism just doesn't make sense. But tribalism is an ideology. It's like a religion. You know how you're willing to die for Islam? These people are willing to die for one another, even if he's in the wrong. That's tribalism. So Bani Hashim are committed in supporting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims, you understand why? Because it's Muhammad Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. But the non-Muslims from Bani Hashim, they will continue supporting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he's from a tribe. No one dare touch him. He's one of us. So Abu Talib, who is the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a non-Muslim supporter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, gathered the people and the tribe of Bani Hashim for them to commit their protection to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the people of Quraysh found out, that aggravated them. When the other tribes of the people of Quraysh found out that Bani Hashim got together and committed in continuing and protecting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that made them so angry. So they decided to do something new. They got together. They excluded Bani Hashim except one, Abu Lahab, who was part of this. Because as I mentioned to you, Quraysh had a number of tribes. Bani Hashim is from Quraysh. Bani Adi is from Quraysh. Bani this, Bani that from Quraysh. The main, the primary tribe is Quraysh, but under Quraysh is a number of sub-tribes. Bani Hashim is one of them. Then you've got other 20, 30 other tribes under Quraysh. So Quraysh gathered all the tribes, excluded Bani Hashim. And the only one that was invited to that meeting was Abu Lahab. He's from Bani Hashim, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he's always been openly against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Abu Lahab refused to attend the meeting with his brother Abu Talib to give commitment in supporting and protecting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did they do? Now Quraysh decides to do something unprecedented. Never ever done before. One of the most oppressive and unjust act in history. For them to put pressure on Abu Talib and Bani Hashim and the rest of the Muslims, in particular the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they got together and decided to agree on boycotting all the followers of Muhammad and the supporters of Muhammad, including the family and the tribe of Muhammad. And for them to affirm, you know, when you want to affirm a contract, you sign it, you seal it, you scan it, you register it, you take all the precautionary measures for you to make sure that it's 100% affirmed. You pronounce it, you publicize it, just to give it the weight. For them to give this boycott a weight, and that boycott was not to speak to anyone from Bani Hashim, or anyone that supports Muhammad, or anyone that follows Muhammad, not to speak to them, not to get married to them, not to get married from them, not to buy to them, not to sell to them, not to buy from them, not to sit down with them, not to mix with them, not to allow them to enter your houses, not to allow them to enter anyone else's houses, not to allow them to enter, or allow anyone enter their houses, not to speak to them. Complete boycott. Like, you know what? You know when you, like, choke them. Not speaking to them, not sitting down with them, not engaging with them, not selling to them, not buying from them, not taking anything from them, not to marry anyone from them, not to allow them to marry anyone from you. Like, complete boycott. This is what you choke someone. You know, when you block up people, sometimes you block them, but you block on a few things, you just don't talk to them anymore. You just don't visit them anymore. But this is choking, not buying anything from them, not selling anything to them, not allowing anyone to interact with them, engage with them, like killing them slowly. And in order for them to affirm it so hard and so affirmative, like they wanted to show how serious they are about this boycott, they wrote it and hung it inside the Kaaba. And you know, to them, the Kaaba is something big. They wrote, as from today, the people of Quraysh will not accept anything from Bani Hashim or anyone that supports Muhammad or anyone that follows Muhammad. They will not accept anything from them. They will not buy anything from them. They will not sell anything to them. They will not engage with them. They will not even have any peace with them. They would not have any mercy upon them. They wrote it on a piece of paper and they put it right inside the Kaaba, which shows what? The seriousness of the matter. And that sends a message to the rest of the people of Quraysh. You know what? This is not just talk. This is so serious now. It's like a law. It's like a law, a legislation they have to follow. And they did. And that's where you go through the event of the 3 years of the boycott. In the 7th year, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation, the people of Quraysh decided to boycott the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his followers, and his supporters. His supporters and his family. And all the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the supporters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, they were all forced out of Mecca into a small valley. In Mecca, like they were forced out of the center, the city center of Mecca, around the Kaaba, forced few, less than a kilometer away from the Kaaba, into a place called Sha'ab Abi Talib, which is like more of a valley surrounded by mountains. They were all forced to be there. They were kicked out of their homes. Complete boycott. Complete sanction. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum stayed like this for 3 years. Now eventually, what happened? Starvation, famine, hunger. Some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum narrate, but Allah at night you hear the screaming of women and children because of hunger. Scream. They reach to that point where they're so hungry, they start to scream. You know, it affects your mental status. They haven't eaten for days. One of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, by Allah, because of the hunger, we start to eat leaves of trees. Uneatable leaves. One of them says, I was so hungry that I was walking in the desert and I stepped on something soggy. Something different to the sand. Said, by Allah, I grabbed and put it in my mouth. I don't even know what it was. Could be anything. Could be anything. He just stepped on something soggy. He didn't even know what it was. Out of hunger. Out of hunger, he just grabbed and put it in his mouth. Subhanallah. This is what you call suffering. This is what you call hardship. That's what suffering is and hardship. And who's also suffering amongst them? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amongst those that faced this hardship. So right now you've got all the supporters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muslims and non-Muslims, they've all been boycotted. And that's why this phase is called the phase of boycott. 3 years. 3 years. No one is allowed to speak to them. No one is allowed to sell anything to them, which means what? They had no intake of food or stock. The Sahaba say, but Allah, sometimes we get to Mecca when we hear of a stranger coming from outside Mecca to come and sell stock. The people of Quraysh will force him to sell the product 10 times, 20 times more expensive than the people of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the supporters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, then get the chance to buy it. And the people of Quraysh had their own marshals that anyone that used to come from outside Mecca, they will warn him, don't sell anything to Muhammad and his supporters. Don't sell anything to Muhammad and his family. Don't sell anything to Muhammad and his companions. 3 years. Full boycott. Hunger. Starvation. Famine. segregation, seclusion, isolation. Look what the Prophet Muhammad went through. You know, sometimes we feel a bit marginalized, a bit isolated, a bit picked on. And yes, sometimes, yes, we are. But compare this to this. And this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Abu Talib was at the forefront of those people who suffered. He was there. And he did not back down. Subhanallah. For what? Not for Allah. Not for Islam. Not for Rasulullah. For Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He's from my tribe. He's my nephew. Tribalism. Subhanallah. What people are willing to do for tribalism. What should you do for your deen? You should be able to do a lot more for your deen. You should be more sacrificing. You should be sacrificing a lot more for your deen. If Abu Talib and Bani Hashim are willing to sacrifice their lives, their integrity, they are willing to sacrifice everything they've got because of Muhammad, he's from their tribe, you should be sacrificing a lot more for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he's your prophet and messenger. 3 years. 3 years, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims, and the supporters and protectors of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his own family were boycotted. And this event is called the 3 years of boycott. Until one man from the people of Quraysh, his name is Hisham ibn Amr. Hisham ibn Amr, he's a non-Muslim and he's not from Bani Hashim. But after 3 years, and you know, hearing what's going on with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Bani Hashim, emotionally he was moved. Because you know, like, enough. Women and children are screaming at night. Allah knows how many people passed away. Like, it's unjust. It's inhumane. As much as you hate someone, even if this person is your worst of your enemy, you still have a bit of sympathy towards this person when this person is suffering. Unless you are heartless. And yes, some of the people of Quraysh were heartless. Abu Jahl was heartless. Abu Lahab was heartless. But someone like Hisham, even though he was one of those people that supported it, or maybe kept quiet about it from the very beginning, does not agree with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a bit of a heart. His heart was moved. So he went to another man from the people of Quraysh. His name is Zuhair ibn Abi Umayyah. And he told him, are you comfortable with what's going on with Muhammad and Bani Hashim? Are you comfortable? Are you all right? They eat and drink, you and your family, and you are fully satisfied with the amount of water and food that you eat and drink. And Bani Hashim are dying from hunger and thirst. Are you happy with that? So Zuhair said, no, I'm not happy, but what do I do? What can I do? Give me an option. He said, we should stop it. We should rip that agreement or that contract to boycott Bani Hashim. So Zuhair said, okay, I'm happy, but you and I, two men, what can we do in front of 100? Go and get a third person. So Hisham went and looked for another person. So he went to Al-Mut'am ibn Uday. And he said to him exactly the same thing that he said to Zuhair. He said, are you happy and satisfied? Are you content? That you eat and drink, you and your family, you've got Bani Hashim are dying from hunger and thirst. Mut'am said, what can I do? It's only me and you. Get a third person, I'll stand with you. He said, there's a third person. And then he went to Abu al-Bakhtari ibn Hisham. And he told him the same thing. You're happy, you're comfortable? That you and your family are comfortable? Content, eating and drink, and you've got people from our own kind, from our own flesh and blood, who are dying from hunger and thirst, oppressively, unjustly. So he said, what can I do? Even if I disagree with it, what can we do? He said, there's me and you, and there's two other people with us. And then he went to Zam'a ibn Aswad and said the same thing. And Zam'a replied the same thing. I don't want it. I don't agree with it, but what can I do? You and I against everyone else? We're going to go against the wave? Against everyone else, we can't do much. He said, no, I've got other people. So five of them. These are five men from the people of Quraysh who objected to the treatment of Bani Hashim. They got together the following day in front of the chiefs of the people of Quraysh. And then one of them straight away got up and he said, we don't accept the oppression against Bani Hashim. We don't agree with them, but we don't accept this oppression. So Abu Jahl got up and he said, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? The other ones who are doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So another person from those who supported Hisham, One of those five people, he got up and supported the first person who spoke. And then the third one got up, and the fourth one got up, and the fifth one got up. And he said, five of us don't agree with this oppression, and we want this contract and agreement that was put in the Kaaba to be ripped apart. We don't want it anymore. So Abu Jahl turned around and said, see, you guys are plotting. You decided on this yesterday. So one of them, Zam'ah, got up and he went inside the Kaaba to rip the agreement or the contract of the people of Quraysh. Prior to that, that same day, that same morning, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib is also one of those victims. He's also one of those people that's been boycotted. That same morning, same day, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his uncle Abu Talib and he told him, Allah had informed me that an insect had eaten the paper of the agreement and only left two words, Bismikallahum. Now there's no way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to find out because he doesn't have access to the Kaaba. He's not allowed to enter the Kaaba. And Abu Talib and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been secluded and isolated completely. So Abu Talib went that day to the Kaaba. While this argument and debate is taking place by those five men who want to terminate this agreement against the people of Quraysh. So Abu Talib said, my nephew had informed me that Allah had informed him that an insect had eaten that paper and left two words. So Zam'ah went inside the Kaaba and he found a small piece of paper that says, Bismikallahum. Exactly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had informed his uncle. Another miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made appear on the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do you think Abu Talib became a Muslim? Unfortunately, no. You know, these are miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown him. But it didn't happen. So after this incident, after this event, with those five men had terminated the agreement of the people of Quraysh against Bani Hashim and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they took it down and they declared to the people of Quraysh no more boycott of the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Bani Hashim. So Bani Hashim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went back to Mecca, living in their homes and buying and selling from the rest of the people of Quraysh as they were before. 3 years of suffering. 3 years of suffering that resulted to the death of Abu Talib and Khadija. Abu Talib started to get older and older. And 3 years of suffering, lack of food, nutrition, water, services, he became very weak. Few months after the boycott ended, Abu Talib died. Before his death, the people of Quraysh attempted numerous times to persuade Abu Talib against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they met with Abu Talib as a delegation of 25. He sat down with Abu Talib and said to him, oh Abu Talib, tell your son, because they used to refer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his son, because his nephew, tell your son to leave us alone, we'll leave him alone. That's it. Now they're compromising. They are compromising. Before, no, he's not allowed to say anything. He needs to follow us. Now, tell him not to say anything about our Lord. We don't say anything about his Lord. He leaves us alone. We leave him alone. He doesn't say anything about us. We don't say anything about him. But you know, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's a big compromise. He's on a mission. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs to guide people. This is right. This is wrong. Right now, these people are saying to him, if you see something wrong, keep quiet. That's not a mission to be fulfilled by a prophet and messenger. He's not fulfilling this responsibility for him to see something wrong and he stays quiet about it. Prophets and messengers have a responsibility. If they see something wrong, they have to say it's wrong. Otherwise, they're not fulfilling their responsibility. So they sat down with Abu Talib and they said to him, tell your nephew, tell your son to stop saying anything about us. We're not going to say anything about him. He's not going to say anything about us. We're not going to attack his Lord. Doesn't attack our Lord. He's not going to say anything against us. We're not going to say anything against him. Just tell him to stay away from us. So Abu Talib called his nephew, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he told him, oh son, your people, your cousins, your tribe are saying, they are making a proposition. They are saying, You don't say anything about him. They don't say anything about you. You don't say anything about their Lord. They don't say anything about your Lord. You leave him alone, they leave you alone. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'll accept under one condition. They say one word. If they say this word, they'll become the kings of the Arabs and the non-Arabs. One word. All I'm asking is one word. They want me to compromise. I'm just going to ask for one thing. And then everyone goes his way. One thing. But this thing, this word, if they're going to say it, they'll become the kings and the rulers of the Arabs and the non-Arabs. So Abu Talib gathered them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, all I want from me is one word. Abu Jahl says, we'll give you 10 words, but leave us alone. We'll give you 10 words, leave us alone. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give me one word and Allah will make you the rulers and the kings of the Arabs and the non-Arabs. Just one word. And Abu Jahl said, what is it? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for you to say, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And you abandon and you stop worshipping these idols that you worship. So Abu Jahl turned around and said, accept this word. Accept this one. We'll give you any word. Accept that one. And they walked away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed few verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these people, their mentality, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them this honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them this privilege, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that, but they continue to walk away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mentions Surah Sa'd. At the end, Abu Talib continued to get older, weaker, and more ill. Few months after the boycott, in the 10th year, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Talib will pass away. While he was on his deathbed, Abu Talib on his deathbed, you put yourself in the position of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your uncle, father figure, looked after you, did everything that he can to take care of you when you were young. He was there for you during the easy days and hard days. And even he supported you so hard, so serious, when he didn't even believe in what you were calling for. You appreciate it. But you know what? It really cuts you when this man is about to die and he's going to die on a religion beside Islam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat next to him while he was dying. And he said to him, Am, uncle, say la ilaha illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. At least I could stand before Allah and say, ya Allah, he said it. And the other people of the people of Quraysh, including his uncles, the uncles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the brothers of Abu Talib. Abu Talib was a respected chief, was a respected leader. They were there. And they'll turn around to Abu Talib and say to him, Abu Talib, you're going to leave and abandon the religion of your father, Abdul Muttalib? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the other side saying to him, oh uncle, say la ilaha illallah. And then they'll turn around on the other side saying to him, Abu Talib, you'll abandon and forsake the religion of your father, Abdul Muttalib. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam whispers to his ear and says to him, uncle, say it in my ear, just between me and you. Don't let anyone know. At least I could stand before Allah and say, ya Allah, he was a Muslim. So Abu Talib turns around and says, but the religion of Abdul Muttalib. I continue to live and die on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. And he passed away. Sad ending. This is a man that serviced and supported Islam more than many Muslims. But subhanAllah, his heart was never open to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's not up to you who you give guidance to. You can speak, tell people, show people the path, but then it's up to people if they want to undertake that path. Or uncle, just say it in my ear, at least for me to stand before Allah Azza and say that you're a Muslim. And then he ends his life with the religion of Abdul Muttalib. the religion of Abd al-Muttalib, the religion of Abd al-Muttalib, and he passes away on the religion of Abd al-Muttalib. Al-Abbas, the brother of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the son of Abd al-Muttalib, Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, who was very close in age to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tells him, O Messenger of Allah, he was a Muslim, he became a Muslim. He said, O Messenger of Allah, your uncle did a lot for you. Your uncle Abu Talib, he did a lot for you. He supported you. He got angry when you got angry, and he was happy when you were happy. What's going to happen to him? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah will ease his punishment on him in the hellfire. But he's in the hellfire. He's in the hellfire. Only a believer will enter the paradise. He died on disbelief. There's no paradise for him. But because of his support, because of his sacrifice, Allah eased it. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam even says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him on two rocks of hellfire and he'll burn from it. As opposed to other people will be burning and being tortured every single day in the hellfire. Allahu a'lam. I can't give too much details. But all we know from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah had eased his punishment on him. But he's still been punished. And he's not going to enter the hellfire. Because he'll never enter the paradise. Because you'll never enter the paradise unless you're a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who are true believers. Few months after the death of Abu Talib, the great wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, passes away. 65 years of age. So we're talking about 2-3 months after the boycott ended, Abu Talib passed away. 2-3 months after Abu Talib passed away, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. Abu Talib was the external support for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam outside his house. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the internal support of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his house. Those two were the biggest supporters, backbone of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Talib supporting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in front of all the people of Quraysh. And it was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that used to comfort the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and spiritually and mentally support the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Both of them died in 1 year. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam called that year the year of sorrow, the year of sadness. After he lost his uncle that was physically supporting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that was mentally and spiritually supporting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That year was the toughest year on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. And who's Khadija? Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, there are many great and complete men, but not many women. Not many women had reached to the level of being great. When we say many in numbers, because you've got the prophets and messengers, over 124,000. And you've got great women out there, but their number is smaller than the number of men. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that amongst those great women that had reached that great status, one of them is Khadija. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. Khadija is the one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said after her death, she believed in me when everyone else disbelieved in me. She supported me when everyone else turned on me. She gave me from her wealth, and she was the only wife that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me children from. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Before her death, Jibreel descends down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him, O Messenger of Allah, Khadija is about to come, is about to enter the place, carrying a plate of food and water. I came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salam is saying, conveying the salam of Allah to her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conveying his salam to Khadija through Jibreel alayhi salam. And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to inform her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established for her a palace in the paradise, that there's no harm in it, there's no loud noises in it, except peace and comfort. Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha, great woman, supported the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was always there for the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. She passed away a few months after the death of his uncle. So two great people that supported the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one was a believer, the other one was a disbeliever, passed in 1 year, in the 10th year after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received his revelation. For that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that year the year of huzn, sorrow, sadness. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the people of Quraysh did not take advantage in attacking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as they did after the death of his uncle. Now it paved the way. The death of Abu Talib paved the way for the people of Quraysh to attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for them to increase their assaults on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. We'll talk about this inshaAllah next week. Next week, the lesson will be after Maghrib. So inshaAllah, roughly we'll start about 7:15, because on Sunday is the beginning of daylight saving. So inshaAllah, remember that the hour will be pushed 1 hour. Inshallah, look forward to your company next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, except from me. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha anta, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.